grace and peace and love from my home to yours. Welcome to worship with Pine Street Church on this All Saints Sunday, November 1, 2020. Thank you for joining us. I hope that this is a meaningful time of reflection and worship for you today. We are Baptist in heritage and ecumenical in outlook. That's what I often say to describe our church. We draw from a lot of different traditions of the Christian faith, and we are made up of people from all different denominations. And one of the ways we celebrate High Holy Days is to honor and commemorate All Saints Sunday. What that means is we honor the holy heroes of our faith, people who have shown us the way, people who have influenced us and taught us and mentored us about what it means to follow God in the way of Jesus. And so today, I invite you to bring to mind those holy heroes in your own life who have done just that for you. See their faces, remember their names, and let's honor them. Honor them in your hearts today, just as I honor this beautiful woman who was a holy hero to me, my grandmother, Cora Curley, of which my daughter Addison shares her middle name and her namesake of Cora. She is somebody who lived with the strength of 1,000 men and someone who showed me the way. And so I honor her today, and I invite you to honor those saints in your own life. Later on in the service, we'll have an All Saints Day prayer. And so I will invite you to remember those folks in your own life who have influenced you. And we'll remember those who in our own congregation have died over the last 12 months. It truly is a sacred time to remember people whose shoulders that we stand on individually and as a church. There is so much happening in the life of our church and ways that you can be connected in small groups. I won't enumerate those today for sake of time, but you can check it out in the Pine Street Post. Thanks to all of you who are finding ways to connect with one another and with God through these online small groups. And for those leaders who are leading the way, I give you my deepest thanks. Well, this past week, if you haven't heard already, we released episode 2 of a brand new creative endeavor that we call Hyphenated Life. Hyphenated Life is funded and powered by Pine Street Church. It's part of our ministry together to create a new digital space. And so this past Thursday, I hope that you have perhaps have heard it already. If you haven't, episode 2 is with David Plazas. David is the opinion and engagement director for USA Today Tennessee. And we thought it was a timely conversation as we are just now a couple of days away from election 2020. Aren't you glad it's almost over, right? If you haven't yet voted, I hope you will this Tuesday. Let your voice be heard. Vote your conscience and what you believe is right as we join together and exercise our democratic rights to vote. So vote, 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 if you haven't already, this Tuesday, November 3rd. Hyphenated Life, again, we thought it was a timely conversation with David Plazas. We talked about voting integrity, community engagement, civil public discourse, media integrity these days, and we talked about his new video podcast called Tennessee Voices. Go to hyphenatedlife.org. That is the easiest way for you to check out all of the podcasts. You can also check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, as everybody says who has a podcast. But check out Hyphenated Life as part of our new digital ministry space of Pine Street Church. And my thanks to my co-host, David Lomdieu. We have a great lineup of season one guests, so check it out, hyphenatedlife.org. Share it on your social media channels and let the good news be known. Also, a way to let good news be known is to share this video link with your family and friends, anybody in your network. You could do that on Facebook. You could do that on your Twitter accounts if you have one. You can forward this email to anybody who you believe needs a word of hope and encouragement and some good news in these hard times. Today, as it is All Saints Sunday, as I mentioned, it's also the beginning of a three-week emphasis, a stewardship emphasis, as we think about our financial giving and plans for 2021. Our general ministry fund is the engine by which we do everything in the life of our church, from staffing to taking care of our building to making sure that we'll be able to go back safely when the time is right to those sacred grounds at 1237 Pine Street in Boulder. It's a way we fund all of our missionaries around the world, and locally we fund our local partnerships like Out Boulder, like Attention Homes, like Community Food Share, to be able to make a difference in this world. All of us is better than any one of us, and we can do far more together than we can do just by ourselves. That is the power of community. And so over the next 3 weeks, we will be using the theme New Horizons to talk about our plan, ministry plans for 2021. I invite you to begin now to think about your financial giving plan for 2021 as it relates to Pine Street Church. We can't do this work without you. We can't be the church without your generosity. And so I invite you to think about your spiritual commitments to God and where Pine Street Church fits into that in your giving plans for 2021. And we'll have a few weeks to pray about that, to carefully discern where we're going as a congregation as we imagine and dream and reimagine what church is going to be like as we move into a new year very soon, 2021. New Horizons. Well, today, again, I'm happy that you have joined us for worship as we continue to be the church scattered when we can't be the church gathered. Are you tired of hearing me say that yet? But it is true. We are the church. The building is not a church. You and I make up the church. And so wherever we are, the church goes. As we walk into this worship experience together, let us do so with this prayer of welcome. Gracious God, in all our weakness and strength, with our youth-filled spirits and aging bodies, we come to be your people. We come to dream. We come to explore new horizons as you lead us into the future, strong in faith, eager with questions, singing our praise, whispering our prayers, meditating upon your good presence in silence. We come to be your people. We are filled with determination by those who have shown us the way, those holy heroes, those saints in our lives and saints of our church. And yet we are mindful of our human limits too, but we come to be your people. Make us strong in your endless love for us. Help us, O God, to know and believe afresh that we are your sons and your daughters and that you truly have good plans for our future, individually and as a spiritual community. We come to be your people today, and we open ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, for your good presence to encompass us and to fill us with courage, to fill us with gratitude, to fill us with dreams and new horizons to pursue together. In the name of the one who calls us together in love and for the sake of love, Jesus Christ, the one who is our wisdom and our courage and our strength and our guide. Amen. The theme of our fall stewardship series is New Horizons 2021. Now, we've already set sail toward new horizons this year in ways we could never have imagined, haven't we? We live in that BC, AC reality now, you know, before COVID, after COVID, and we feel all the feelings of it, right? Confusion, bewilderment, loneliness, anxiety, depression, pandemic, exhaustion. Anybody feel me? And to laugh to keep from crying, a friend sent me a joke that goes like this. A guy walks into a bar and says, "I'd like a Corona and two hurricanes." The bartender says, "That'll be 2020. You're welcome. There you go, and then some. This time of all times, we are at a pivot point. It is a time of reimagining, of redirection, indeed, new horizons. Or as our very own Dr. Mike Simpson has reminded our Tuesday morning men's coffee group more than once during the pandemic, of the unofficial mantra of the United States Marines, improvise, adapt, and overcome. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. That is to say, Marines are trained to improvise, adapt, and overcome any obstacle in whatever situation they are needed. Now, it's true that we don't have to be Marines to know what it takes to deal with physical or mental or spiritual or even leadership hardship. You know what it's like in your own lives, 7 months plus into this AC after COVID world. And our leadership council and our staff and our committee leaders and myself, I mean, we know what this is like with boots on the ground, with church leadership too. And there's no secret pandemic playbook about what we faced this far and what we are supposed to do about it in every little situation. And when we're living and leading through this kind of disruption, it's hard to tell sometimes if the sky is falling or if the ground is just shifting beneath our feet. And what I want to say today is that a church like Pine Street Church hasn't been around for almost 149 years for nothing. We stand on the shoulders of previous generations and leaders and pastors and, yes, saints who by their courage and faithfulness and gospel guts have helped us to be here and now in this cultural and social and spiritual moment to cheer us on from the balconies of heaven, to keep on keeping on being beacons of love no matter what we face. Here's what I believe. The sky is not falling. The ground beneath our feet is shifting, though. And I know that it's not breaking news to many of us, but I'll say it anyway. The future for us as a church is going to look different than it did in the past. We have been preparing for it in an in-your-face way for more than 7 months now, but the pandemic has forced us to prepare for what I believe is a promising future for the church, too. The Big C Church and our specific local context church, Pine Street Church. Since March, we have adapted to this new world, this new era, this after COVID world, AC world. And we were forced to figure out ways to be the church in digital spaces in ways we weren't taking as seriously as before. I mean, I bet not many of you were Zoom masters before 7 months ago. And now you're Zoom experts at this point, right? And 7 months ago, we weren't doing anything in the realm of video recordings for Sunday worship. Now here we are. We started from scratch 7 months ago, and we are still learning. We plan to improve and enhance our video worship experience on Sundays going forward as we will begin 2021 being the church scattered because we won't be able to be the church gathered for probably a long while into the future. And now we are embracing, I think, this new way of being church. Now, I know we don't like all of it. It's hard. We want to be together. We want a big group hug and all of that. I do too. But we are living in a time where loving our neighbors,
means making sure that they are safe and that they are well, that we're washing our hands, that we're wearing masks, that we're social distancing, especially in this time when COVID spikes are happening at the greatest rate than they ever have in the last 7 months all over the country. This is the sort of world we're living in, and we might as well embrace what it means to be the church in this new era. We no longer have the luxury of just inviting people to church anymore. If we haven't learned any other lesson through this pandemic, surely it must be that you are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. Because church is not a physical building. As much as we love our sacred space at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado, I have to tell you today, I've been eating some of my own words lately, and here's what I mean. Here's what I said literally a year ago about this same time. Little did I know just what these words would come to mean merely a few months later. I said them last November, and then lo and behold, March happened when COVID disrupted our normal lives. And by the way, what is normal anyway, right? Normal has been disappearing for a long time now, especially as it comes to the church in America, for instance. But here's what I said a year ago. Jesus invites his disciples to see more than what they're seeing. God's presence is not bound to a building. Hello. God is bigger than any temple or church or cathedral. God is bigger than any institution, no matter how long it's been around. God is bigger than any mantra or mission statement or strategic plan or even a board governance structure. As grateful as I am to have an updated leadership structure that we just voted on this past January, thanks be to God. The point is, God is bigger than our experience. God is bigger than our minds can fathom or our tongues can tell, which is why we are always called to grow and stretch and lean into God's good future for us with imagination and innovation and hope. This is the mantra I've been coming back to this past week. We need a church like this in a time like this. But if the Jerusalem temple isn't permanent, nothing is permanent in terms of brick and mortar. And so we don't pin our hopes and put our trust in things that are crumbling. We follow Jesus' lead and have the guts and the courage and the grace to testify, to tell our stories, to share our lives, to bear witness when things feel shaky, and yes, when the ground is shifting beneath our feet. And it is. This is what is happening to churches and American Christianity these days. And so we seek to find our voice, we seek to find our footing, and follow the Spirit's lead as we, and I have said this more than once over the last 3.5 years, right? As we seek to live from imagination and not just live from memory. The time comes in every congregation or organization when new dreams outgrow former structures, when old maps won't work for a new world. To borrow a vivid image from Jesus in the Gospels, old wineskins of the past cannot always hold the new wine of 21st century reality. And now, certainly, pandemic reality. Such is the case for this new era in the life of our church, as fresh vision, new dreams, God's good future beckons us forward together. And what we need to be the church is not always what we think we need to be the church, and haven't we found that out this past 7 months? We're finding that out in spades right now, aren't we? Essentials, if you want to look at the essentials of the church, are the parts of the congregation that are non-negotiable and not up for debate. And if you want to know what that means, you can just read Acts 2. Now, if we change those aspects of Acts 2, the fellowship of the community, the breaking of bread, and the prayers, well, if you change those, we'd cease to be the church. Not included, though, in those essentials are buildings, existing staff models, styles of most anything, schedules, budget models, or most organizational charts. Now, usually on Communion Sunday, I remind you of something I learned from Brother James Coster, who is part of the Society of St. John the Evangelist outside of Boston. He says the basic necessities of our faith are not bricks and mortar, vestments and pews, but rather bread, wine, story, and one another. All we truly need to be the people of God in any time or place is bread, wine, word, and community. I've been thinking a lot this past week about this whole idea of this living from memory and living from imagination. And the truth is, we need both. We need tradition and we need innovation. We need to live from memory and from imagination. We need both. We need to learn from the past, but we can't be bound by it. Our ability to not just survive, but thrive is our ability to be the church. To be the church and to be the people as St. Matthew describes in today's gospel reading. More about that in just a second. But we learn the Beatitudes of St. Matthew, be the attitude of what he's talking about, because we have seen saints in flesh and blood who were ones who showed us how to be the attitudes of the ones Jesus called blessed. This week I've been thinking about people like Karen Hadley Dyke, who in the mystery of God's Spirit is alive and well to us today, to this holy moment, in just a similar way as my grandmother over here in the picture is alive and well to me. But I've been thinking about Karen Hadley Dyke, who continues to fuel our passion and compassion as a church, celebrating in deep joy with a heaven-sown smile, I imagine, when we have been able to share our financial gifts through the Caring Connections Fund, by the way, named after Karen Hadley Dyke, with organizations like Community Food Share during this pandemic to help make sure that we do our part to help ensure that our neighbors in need of food have food. Karen was so passionate about helping people, and she devoted her life to healing and caring for people at home and around the world through her love of global missions and relief work. And we've been also able to give to Attention Homes of Boulder, Attention Homes that provides crucial life-giving services to over 12,000 youth ages 12 to 24 in Boulder County, including mental health support that is so essential right now during this pandemic. So I think of Karen Hadley Dyke. I think of Milton Huffaker, a man who was inventive in his professional work, a visionary, someone who left us a legacy of generosity, a man who showed us the way to care about what really matters, who also was passionate about education and helping younger generations to get a chance, someone who loved this church, Pine Street Church, with his whole heart and soul and mind and strength, because he first loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. A saint of a man who embodied the truth of these words from Father Thomas Keating, who was his contemplative teacher. Keating said, "If one completes the journey to one's own heart, one will find oneself in the heart of everyone else." One will find oneself in the heart of everyone else. And God knows we hold Milton in our hearts today. We hold Karen in our hearts today. And many of you knew Leo Hill, a lifelong banker in Boulder who was a longtime member of First Baptist Church of Boulder that is now Pine Street Church, who I understand was an unassuming man who sat in the balcony on Sundays. And his legacy of generosity fuels our ability to expand our digital ministry in a time when we need it most. In the last 2 to 3 years, with a new logo and our hospitality swag bags and our new signage on the front lawn that has also supported our brand new digital pulpit we call the Hyphenated Life Podcast. God only knows if Leo Hill had in his own imagination what could be because of his own generosity and because of his investment in Pine Street Church of Boulder, Colorado. These are the saints close to our church community who are alive and well to us in these days, who are cheering us on as we live into an unknown future, but a future that will be good because God is with us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as Hebrews puts it. Think again of those people whose lives have influenced yours, people who have loved you, people who have taught you, who have mentored you, who have helped you become who you are, people who made you want to join the big parade of God's love, dancing to the drumbeat of when the saints go marching in. Finally today, to be a saint on this All Saints Sunday, as we imagine new horizons for our community, to be a saint in any sense of the word is to take the content of today's gospel seriously. Pretend for a moment that saints wear halos over their heads. If you do, you can then identify them not by how perfectly straight those halos are, but by how absolutely tilted they are, how broken some of them are. Their halos are tilted or broken because they live in the rough and tumble of daily life. Saints are the ones who don't strut around in lily-white robes, quoting Bible verses and sashaying through life like it's all bliss and light. Saints are people who live in a world where it's easier to hate their enemies, but they practice love instead. Saints are people who stand up for God's justice to be done, even when it's unpopular. Saints are people who are so in touch with God's light because they are so in touch with the world's darkness. These are everyday saints who don't exist in stained glass windows, but who live smack dab in the middle of real life, everyday life, just like you and just like me. Thing is, they are prone to see the world as Jesus describes it here in Matthew's gospel today. They believe deep in their bones, and they make us believe it too, that the world is neither flat nor round, but truly upside down. They live like what Jesus says is true, that the ones who are hungry will be filled, the ones who are weeping will be comforted, that the kingdom of God belongs to people who are poor in spirit, that doing justice and making peace are not about liberal pansies or liberal snowflakes. Doing justice and making peace is precisely who children of God are and what children of God do. In the kingdom of God, the axis of God's goodness tilts, not toward those who are rich and stingy and narcissistic, but rather to those who are tired and vulnerable and exhausted and poor and hungry, people who know what pain feels like, the people that Henry Nouwen calls wounded healers. And let's face it, some days that's you, and some days that's me. Even when we have money in the bank, we may be broke in spirit. Even if our stomachs are full, our souls can still be starving. Even when our minds are full of education and information, we can still not be transformed in heart and spirit. Even when we're working hard to look like we've got it all together, man, we may feel like the most fragile person in the world, being held together by Post-it notes. Saints are the people with grace enough to know that we don't have to have it all together to do something significant, no matter how small we think it is. My friends, we are 2 days away from election 2020. I hope that you voted, or I hope that you will vote on Tuesday and vote your conscience. But I've been thinking about what British writer G.K. Chesterton calls the democracy of the dead. The democracy of the dead. That is about valuing what our ancestors believed stood the test of time. And this is part of why we have today's gospel, this wisdom that has stood the test of time through St. Matthew, a living tradition, one that we learn through saints that have lived out the truth of what St. Matthew describes and what Jesus describes as people who are blessed. I think about Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. on this election week. Both donned halos tilted by their struggles for peace. Abraham Lincoln dreamed of a nation free of slavery, where no man or woman would be the property of another. And with the war behind him, Lincoln closed his second inaugural address with these words: "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Lincoln dreamed of a nation with no winners and losers, no slave owners and slaves, no blue and gray, but rather a nation of people united by their common humanity. Martin Luther King Jr., he was committed to the beauty of seeing things through as well. 100 years after Lincoln, he was still ringing the bell of freedom. In his 1963 speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, King declared, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal." The saintly insurrections of Lincoln and King, well, it got them both killed. But these towering figures of history are part of the great cloud of witnesses worthy of our imitation too. So today is the day to celebrate people like Lincoln and King, yes. People like Karen Hadley Dyke and Milton Huffaker and Leo Hill. And today is the day to celebrate the ordinary saints in our own lives too, like my beloved grandmother. Toward the end of her life, her favorite lines to say to me were, "You're so pretty," and "I love you." She would say to me, "You are the prettiest boy I've ever seen." And there was nobody more sincere than her, but I joke that I don't remember her ever wearing her glasses when she would say that either. But she loved me with unconditional love and patience, and she inspired me by her courage. She did live with the strength of 1,000 men, raising 10 children after her husband died at a young age and taking care of them after their house burned down a year later. She lived her life to the end. Her halo was tilted too. Not because she wasn't a saint, but because she was. Saints, Frederick Buechner wrote, are not plaster statues, men and women of such paralyzing virtue that they never thought a nasty thought or did an evil thing their whole life long. Saints, Buechner says, are essentially life givers. To be with them is to become more alive. What are we willing to live for? It's sometimes easier to say what we're willing to die for, but today, on this All Saints Sunday, is a good day to ask ourselves, what are we ready to live for? As we seek new horizons in this coming year of spiritual community together, I can't imagine linking arms and joining hearts with anybody but you. And I hope that you feel the same way in this community. Even if you've been on the periphery of our church and you're finding connection in this digital world, in this digital reality, I hope that you feel that too. I've never forgotten what a couple of saints once told me. What we've learned is that it's a whole lot easier to be dead than to be alive. I want to be alive. And I've never forgotten that, because to be in the presence of people who make you more alive is to be in the company of saints. Whether it's the democracy of the dead, as Chesterton says, or whether it's saints alive, you and me being community together. This is the kind of community we're keeping these days. And we can see it in one another, and we see it. We see saints teaching in classrooms of public schools in our cities, especially online these days. We see saints in hospital emergency rooms, serving with skill and embracing with compassion someone who's just learned that a spouse of 60 years has died of COVID. We see them in retirement homes, speaking to the fragile ones who sit mute and staring in the wheelchair line in the hallway. We see them in high school kids who tutor youngsters or rehab slum houses. We see them in auto repair shops where customers receive an honest job at an honest price. And we see them in the faces of our fellow pineheads, and in the faces we hold in our memories of those saints who keep on showing us the way to new horizons. And Deo gratias that we see a saint in the face of a forgiven sinner who meets you in the mirror. Amen.
As you go on your way today, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy and the justice and the beauty of God are at loose in the world through you. Go now and live like it is true. Amen.